I'd like to call to order the public hearing on the business plan for the Hershey Community Center. And if everyone would please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
He took my sheet.
Do a roll call.
Member Rick Samuda.
Here.
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. At this time, I'd like to invite Matt Mendia to initiate the discussion in the public hearing tonight. And on the business plan, if you don't know, this meeting is here in this business plan that's being proposed with Hershey Community Center. And Matt, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, board members. Chairman, board members, members of the public, thank you so much for being here this evening to learn about the Hershey Community Center business plan. A couple of items of housekeeping for the group. That's still really feedback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the volume a little too high, maybe?
I have the lapels up from the...
That's a little better. Okay, just a couple housekeeping items. This presentation, much like all of our other presentations that we've done throughout this planning process over the nearly 5 years, will be recorded, and will be placed on the township's website. Please, if there's anyone that you know that wasn't able to be here this evening, please let them know that resource is available on the township website. In addition, the full business plan will also be available on the township's website as well. If you picked up an agenda, you'll see kind of the process of the presentation. We'd like to go through the entire presentation for you, and then at that time we'll be opening it up for board discussion and comment, and then certainly we'll try to leave ample time for public and visitor comment. At that time, if you do have questions or comments, we would ask that you would use the microphone right here at the podium, on the ground podium there. The last item, just a procedural, we do have a regularly scheduled Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for 7 o'clock this evening, so I'm going to move through this presentation here. Before I move on to any slides here, I do want to introduce Ken Ballard from Ballard King Associates. Ken has been with the project from the outset, almost 4 years now, in terms of feasibility study and market analysis, and actually our original operations analysis, preliminary operations analysis, which we're updating here tonight. Also, Zach Jackson, who is the Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation, who's been involved in both design and this analysis as well. And also, Ben Kappenstein from PFM, Public Financial Management, who Ben's team, one of our main goals here was with this document was to produce something that was easily read by anybody that picks it up and to condense all the information, because there is a vast amount of information, into very readable and understandable format, and Ben and his team has done a great job on that, and I think we'll be pleased with the document when we check it out. In opening, a tremendous amount of work has gone into developing this business and operations plan that's being presented this evening. Over the past several months, many aspects of the plan have evolved, and changes as the financial management team have identified the best approach to the offerings and operations of the community center. It can't be stressed enough that the information being presented this evening has been formulated using the best information that we have at this time. This plan will continue to be fine-tuned as even more detailed information is gathered and anticipated leading up to the opening of the center. This plan will be a living document. It will be reviewed on an annual basis as our general operating budget is established on a yearly basis. And a more formal update will also occur every 5 years for the business plan for the eternity of the community center. So I'm going to be covering some of the front end of the business plan. Ken will get into some of the more the nuts and bolts of the finances of the plan, but the introduction of this plan is very important to kind of set a framework for what's involved, what's been involved, and what's been included in the formulation of this business operations plan. And one of the things in the executive summary is our mission statement, and I just want to read that for you. The goal of the Hershey Community Center is to create a culture of community grounded in providing a gathering place for all ages and abilities to engage in socialization, exercise, and education, all focused on improving the quality of life and promoting healthy lifestyles for its residents. And one of the other areas, and I know many of you in this room are very familiar with the current facility and the current status of the facility, which was sold to the township for $1 in 1979 by the Hershey Chocolate Corporation. The current facility consists of a lobby, a small gymnasium, a six-lane, 25-yard indoor pool, an outdoor community pool, and of course, our locker rooms. But it's become evident that the lack of programming space and available pool time has impeded the department's ability to meet the community's recreation needs. The operational costs of maintaining this 55-year-old building, as you can imagine, have increased over the past 10 years at minimum, and many of the mechanical systems within the facility are at the end of its useful life or actually not no longer working. So as you can also imagine, throughout this process of formulating this plan, a lot of relationships have also been established. To name a few, the Moeller Senior Center is an amazing partner in this project. The People Mover Service, which I know many of you are familiar with, bringing some of our elderly of our population to doctor's appointments and very critical errands that they need to run throughout the year. They'll be part of our community center. The Derry Township School District and the Hershey Public Library are on the campus. We're all on the campus together. We have an obvious relationship with the school district in that we're serving many of the same students that they see each and every day. Of course, the Hershey Public Library, hopefully expanding tremendously, programming that the library offers and incorporating that within within our operations as well. And of course, Hershey and the surrounding area, Quiet Community, and their input in the project. So very quickly, the planning process officially began in 2014. Obviously, we recognized the need much before that, but formally that process began in 2014 where we assembled a stakeholders committee. In 2015, Ken and his team did a feasibility and market analysis for this project. That was presented to the public. In 2016, Kimball Grant provided an architectural and conceptual plan and began that process. In June of 2017, that was presented in public as well. In October of 2017, Ken and his team once again created a preliminary operations analysis based on the concept plan that was developed by Kimball Bograph, and that provided various options. In January of 2018, this year, we had kickoff meetings to begin the process of the schematic design for the project. And in May of 2018 of this year, the schematic design was presented right here to the public. Which brings us to this evening, the presentation of the updated business plan. Moving forward, on the back end of the schedule would be completing final design and budget, which would be in October. Fall, complete construction documents in this fall. Project bidding occurring early 2019. Start construction roughly March of 2019, and then the grand opening. So what's the purpose of this preliminary business plan? First and foremost, to provide our residents and our stakeholders a clear detailing of all current aspects of the new Mercy Community Center. Even as importantly, providing a foundation for the future successful operation of the center, and really starting to lay the roadmap for how this facility is going to operate. Shows facilities, sample programs that may be offered, that is changing on a daily basis, as you can imagine, and filling the amount of hours that we're going to be filling in that facility for all the various programs for all ages and abilities. A detailed operational and financial aspects for the new center, as well as showing pricing options for participation and its use. Many of you already realize and understand what is being proposed to this building, and it is comprehensive, and once again, something for everyone, and we're going to try to make sure that we're hitting all those points. First, indoor and outdoor leisure pools, a walking track, cardio weight equipment, full-size gymnasium, a child watch area, teen area, 50-meter pool, senior center, meeting and multi-purpose rooms, a cafe, with concessions for our outdoor pool and also the pro shop area. All of these elements being part of the overall business plan Ken's been working on for us, and he'll be able to discuss as he goes through this presentation. Once again, program offerings. When you look at the complete document, right now well over 100 programs, but that is going to be a very fluid process as we finalize exactly what's going to be offered in this facility. And quite frankly, after we open, that continues to happen. For my 25 years here, every season that changes depending on what's popular, what sessions run, what don't, and what's popular in other areas. So that's just an area that will continually change. The programs that are represented in the operations analysis here we see are representative programs. We know the number of hours the programs need to be run, so the programs are in there are representative. It doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly what we're going to be run. So with that facility that I just described and all the amenities, in addition to all the programs that are going to be offered, this necessitates new positions, both full-time and part-time positions. Some positions will vary depending on the ultimate types of programming, as I just outlined. And also, as part of the plan, obviously, we estimated the starting wages for all those positions, which are all worked into the figures of Ken will be discussing as well. And lastly, the competitive swimming element in terms of the 50-meter pool. Certainly, the goal is to make this venue attractive in order to attract competitive meets as a revenue generator, which is extremely important. As importantly, the 25-yard configuration of that pool will provide 22 lanes width-wise. Currently, we have a 6-lane indoor pool, so when the competitive swimmers are in that pool, there's no time for the community to utilize aquatic services during that time. With the 25-yard pool configuration in that 50-meter, it allows 22 lanes width-wise, 25-yard. So, in essence, we can have competitive swimming occurring. We can also have substantial lanes for our residents to swim at the same time, and also have available time at the back end of the pool for programming, lessons, snorkeling, and you name it. So, you can see the expansive programming that we'll be able to do during these times. So that's really the front end, and I know it's very quick, and there's a lot of information, but it's the front end of the business plan, but I thought it was important to provide you with that foundation, that backdrop for what Ken's going to be discussing this evening. So when Ken is complete, we'll be opening up for board comment and then public comment after that. So thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Matt, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you to the board and to the rest of you here. I'm going to now take you through a little more detail of the operations analysis. Matt kind of set the table with some of his comments, and we've developed this over the last 3 or 4 months, tying exactly to the concept plan that's been developed by the architect for this facility, and trying to make sure, again, it reflects the amenities that are going to be in the building, as well as the fact that the operations plan at this point would begin in 2020 when the building is scheduled to open. It's important to talk about some of the assumptions that we utilize in developing this plan. First of all, I think Matt went through and told you the amenities that are to be included in the facility, so it matches those facilities, or those amenities in the facility. That's about a 115,000 square foot building when all said and done. Important to realize that senior services will be offered by this existing senior center, and they will also be paying in kind of a monthly assessment, if you will, to cover some of their utility costs. That's about $1,900 a month for that. We have a cafe operation, and at this point that's being shown as being contract managed by an outside vendor. However, the outdoor aquatic piece of it will be run by the facility and by Parks and Recreation. Also, there will be a very small pro shop operation, and that will also be offered by a contract operator, and there's a lease payment associated with that on a per month basis. And again, noted that the cafe will be run by an outside vendor. They will be the sole provider of food services in the building itself, including swim meets. They will also be paying a yearly lease payment to the center, as well as a percentage of the gross sales. And that's pretty traditional for these types of facilities. For swim meets, a system is in place that will assess a $13 per room per meet charge to participants who spend the night here in Hershey Hotels, and that will be rebated to the center based on the size of the meets and the number that are being handled by the facility. The fitness center's cardio equipment will be leased, and we factored in that lease payment into the operating plan for the facility. For kind of the more community room spaces, alcohol will be permitted with rentals. That's important because it drives a number of rentals, but the price points for those rentals as well. Again, this is based on the facility opening in 2020, and the budget represents the second full year of operation. And why do we use the second year? Well, the first year is not a true cost. A lot of the costs are being absorbed by the warranty period on the building, so the costs are not really until their fullest. To get to the second year, you actually incur the true cost of operating that building. So it's more representative than that first year, especially on the cost side. That's why we utilize the second year. Other things that will be important to realize is that it's based on the presence of other providers in the marketplace as they currently are. At this point, we have no indication of any potential changes in that marketplace that would potentially impact the operating plan for this facility. The center obviously will be operated by Erie Township and Parks and Recreation in particular. The building will be cleaned by contract services in the evening. It will be augmented during the daytime staff by township and staff that's on site. And again, just to emphasize that the concept plan that was developed for this facility is the basis for the operating plan that's put together, not only the amenities, but the layout of the building itself. We also looked, as Matt indicated, at the full-time staff that's both present now in the department and also what's going to be necessary to operate that facility. We accelerated the rates of compensation to 2020 for both full-time and part-time rates, again, to reflect the actual true cost of providing those employees at that particular time. We also established potential admission rates for the center, and those are comparable to other facilities in the marketplace, especially other public facilities in kind of the greater Harrisburg area. We used a reasonable approach to estimating both the revenues from past sales and programs that would take place in the facility, And it is based on drawing well now in what we call the primary service area, but also the secondary market, as well as from some visitors to the area as well. Revenue from the rental of the 50-meter pool is pretty aggressive in what we're showing right now, and we'll talk more about that as we go through this. So let's get into some of the real meat now on the impacts on the cost of operation. Well, one of the key things is, what are the hours going to be of operation? And so we had to develop that as a baseline for understanding cost of operation. Right now, it's based on hours that are strong, and these are necessarily what we see in most public facilities across the United States. From early morning to late evening, open 7 days a week, usually only closed for major holidays, and maybe a shutdown period of 5 days to do some long-term maintenance. So at this point, 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's 101.5 hours a week of operation, so that's a lot of hours. Summer pool hours, and that's just for the outdoor pool portion of the facility, again, running basically from Memorial Day to Labor Day, on the outdoor portion of it only would be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's also important to talk about who are we going to serve with this facility. Well, clearly, the motivation is to service the needs of the Derry Township residents first and foremost. During the original feasibility study that was conducted back in 2015-2016, we identified what we call a primary market, which includes the area we expect to draw folks from. It's not only the township, but other areas, and that identified not only Derry Township, but Palmyra, Hummelstown is that primary market area. And this was somewhat based on not only the geographic layout of the area, but also where Parks and Recreation is currently drawing users for not only existing facilities, but other programs and services. Beyond the primary market, we also identified a much larger secondary market area, and that really goes from Lebanon on the east to Elizabethtown on the south, nearly to the outskirts of Harrisburg on the west, and I-81 to the north. The center should be able to draw people from this market, but not at the same rate as they do from the primary service area. Now, especially with the presence of a 50-meter pool, the secondary market is certainly in play for that amenity. So we look at opportunities from a market perspective. There's 64,000 people going higher, even projected by the rate of by the day of opening in 2020, of 64,000 people within that primary market. We go out and include the entire secondary service area that we've identified. We add another 200,000 individuals for a total market area of almost 265,000 people. So obviously it's a substantial market when both those areas are taken into consideration. On the challenger side, it's recognized there's other providers out there in the marketplace right now, and certainly that went into our planning efforts as we looked at rates of utilization of the center itself. So the other major piece that certainly impacts the revenue side of the equation are user fees. And so we developed a model, if you will, for user fees that has various types of ways to access the facility. And it goes from the daily fee rate broken down by adult, youth, and senior, and then kind of goes up from there to a 10 admission, which is discounted over a daily, to a 3 month, excuse me, a 1 month, and a 3 month rate. And then finally, we call it really an annual pass. It could either be done by an upfront payment for a 4 year or a monthly withdrawal from a checking or bank account on a monthly basis over a period of a year. The fees, as we indicated, were put together based on where the market is now, again, accelerating those out 2 years from where we sit today in terms of when the market and the facility will be open. It's also important to realize people can access this facility without paying any of these fees. So if you just came in to take a class or a program, you came in and put your children into swimming lessons, you don't have to pay any of the admission rates that are shown here on this particular slide. You can simply just pay for that program or activity. Because of the facility and the types of spaces that are there, people may be there strictly for meetings or other activities, and so there won't be any rate of payment for those services either. So there's a lot of different ways people can access the facility beyond just paying the rates that we've shown here. And certainly there's a lot of opportunities to determine how people want to pay for those portions of the building that might be available, all the way from, again, a daily fee rate, all the way up to a more traditional annual payment. What we're showing you here are the resident rates. There's also a non-resident rate that's 25% higher than what we're showing here on the resident rates. And so people that are residents of the township would be eligible, obviously, for the resident rate. Those people that are outside the township would be expected to pay a higher rate of admission. So how do we actually develop then this operating or financial plan? Well, not only did the authors, myself and our firm, certainly were intimately involved with this. We also spent a lot of time with Matt and Zach on putting this together to make sure it fit the kind of the organizational pattern for not only the department, but for the township. It reflected the needs and expectations of programming, as he showed you earlier. We also consulted as part of this process with other local providers, especially in competitive aquatics, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Again, just to reemphasize, this is based on the second full year of operation. And when it's all said and done, and we look at cost of operation, and we look at the revenue potential for the facility, right now it's projected, depending upon which version we end up taking, between about $517,000 to $589,000 operational shortfall for a year. That's not unusual. Really, the lion's share of public recreation facilities across the United States, and even this region of the country, don't cover their cost of operation by the fees that are generated by this facility. They almost always operate in some form of operational deficit. Just to put it in perspective, right now, the existing facility, obviously a much smaller center than what we're talking about here, and also one that doesn't have nearly the amenities that we're talking about in the new facility, it has an operational shortfall of about $733,000 a year. So actually the subsidy for this new facility would be less than what it currently is for the existing center. So I realize it's difficult to see, especially from the back of the room, some of the details on the actual performance statements that are being shown. Again, as Matt indicated, these will be part of the documents that will be on the website here in the coming days, and so you'll be able to look at those in more detail. Again, we developed two scenarios for this, and the real differences in the revenues being generated potentially from the 50-liter pool, and more specifically from swim meet participation. Everything else is pretty much the same. There is a little bit of a swing in the number of lifeguard hours based on the number of meets that would be projected, but that's really the only real difference. So first of all, we estimated, again, the revenues based on the fee structure I showed you, and it looks at rental rates not only for the 50-meter pool, but also for other more general areas of the center. And when we look at that and some other incidentals, it's about $425,000 a year in rentals. And the bulk of that is running the aquatic facility and the 50-meter pool, swim team use, and also coming off of swim meets. And I'll come back to the fact that we did again, two scenarios on that, and that's really the difference in the revenue side of it. We also have revenues associated with programs and services taking place in the facility, again, whether it's swimming lessons, whether it's fitness classes, whether it's summer camp programs or other things that may come out of the facility. We developed a scenario with many of the programs that Matt showed you earlier. We look at not only aquatic program revenue, but fitness and general program revenue. That comes up to about $500,000, basically $500,000 a year into that. Other revenues coming from, again, contributions from the senior center, the pro shop lease payment, again, the hotel revenue coming from the swim meet participants, and also the outdoor concession and those types of things. That brings us about another $266,000. So our total revenue is right at about $3.17 million annually in revenue. The lion's share of this, basically $2 million, is coming from admission fees. And that's, again, everything from daily admissions to the sale of 1 month, 3 month, annual passes. That is the greatest single source of revenue. That is virtually every facility that has active recreation amenities. It is the sale of passes in one form or another that generate by far and away the most revenue for any facility, and they did in this case as well. So the difference really in the revenue side was in a second scenario that looked at additional number of swim meets that were going to be held and was a little more aggressive in terms of the number of meets that could take place in the facility. And so that bumped up the revenues coming out of the rental side, specifically from the aquatic rental side, by about $70,000 to $80,000. And that's the biggest difference in the two scenarios there. It's just aggressive what you want to be in terms of the revenue coming out of swim meets. The expense side then is made up of a number of different general categories. Most of it's coming in from staffing requirements for both full and part-time staff. And again, we calculated the full cost of that, not only on the rates of compensation in 2020, but also a percentage to cover benefits that are paid by the township now. We also had to factor in the cost of operation and maintenance, everything from utilities to other professional services that may be taking place there. We factored in the cost of providing the recreation programs and services in terms of staff and other supply costs, both for general recreation programs as well as for aquatic programs. The concession operation, we showed the revenue. We also showed the expense for the outdoor pool portion of it. We also have a number in there for capital, right off the top. Even though in the first couple of years of operation, there shouldn't be any expenses for capital replacement with the building being new. So we come up and we calculate that in the first scenario to about $3.75 million a year annually in operating costs. The second scenario is only slightly higher by about $6,000, and that's really attributable to additional lifeguards that would be necessary for the additional swim meets that are being proposed. So it's only a swing of about $6,000 to $7,000. That gets us again to that differential being anywhere from $517,000 in the subsidy level for scenario two, that's a little more aggressive on the swim meets, to about $589,000 for the more conservative approach. And so, you know, that's a swing of about $70,000 or so. So it's not a huge one when we talk about the figures we're dealing with. So that's in a little bit of detail, the actual pro forma. Where then are expenses and revenues coming from? When you look at kind of the circular diagrams that are up there, again, 63% of the revenues that we generated from the plan that we're showing you are coming through admission fees. And again, that's within the norm of what we see for most public facilities, whether they're in Pennsylvania, California, Michigan, Florida, wherever it might be. That is the greatest source of revenues. Others are coming from program revenues, both fitness and aquatics. That makes about another 16%. And the rest of them are small bits and pieces coming out of rentals and other things. But by far, again, the lion's share is on the admission fees. We've been conservative, again, on estimating the numbers of people through the door, the number of people who will be buying passes, those types of things. We haven't been overly aggressive on calculating those numbers. Mm-hmm. On the expense side, as I mentioned earlier, the lion's share of the cost is coming in personnel costs. About 66% of the cost for both full-time and part-time staff and the benefits that go with that. Again, we find the average nationally to be around 65%, so you're right there with everything else. The other big part of it is coming out of operations and maintenance. And the lion's share of that cost is coming in utilities, and that makes up about 23%. We have some other things in programming costs and the concession operations, and again, the capital replacement number we put in here to begin with. So that kind of explains, hopefully, a little bit more on some of the cost and revenue breakdown. So what's kind of the evolution of this process? And again, Matt touched on this earlier, is that we will continue to update this document as we move along. It's not unusual to go through two or three renditions between now and then the time that the facility actually opens. Once the center is actually open, you continue to do budget updates, certainly through the first few years of operation, to actually match up as closely as possible with the actual realities of how the center is performing. It's a living document, especially at this point from now until the center opens, and you continue to, in a sense, tighten up the budget as you get closer to the opening date. And again, about every 5 years, the township submitted to having kind of a full business plan update, and that kind of resets the dial. And it looks at how you're doing business, any potential changes that are coming as part of that, and again, it's kind of tune up, extend every 5 years, and that's not all communities do that. It's a real positive thing, but it keeps you on track as you move forward. And certainly, the community center budget will be part of the township's overall budget, and through that process, it'll be adopted just like any other portion of the township's budget moving forward once the actual facility's in place. So with that, I've kind of wrapped up at least the initial presentation. Questions?
A few questions or comments from members of the board. Bobby, can you? Matt? Susan?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about what the national regulation
is? Well, at this point, we put in a budget amount, again, starting in year one. It's a $100,000 number. Again, we don't anticipate any replacement dollars being spent in year one, year two, and potentially not even in year three. Now, what's in that is everything from mechanical system changes, upgrades, replacement, whether it's pool pumps or heating units, those types of things. It's also under replacements for furniture or equipment within the building that's beyond a certain cost aspect of that. So there's a variety of different aspects of that. It's a little hard at this point because we have all the systems in place to know what the long-term prognosis and need is for that moving forward. The hope would be that within the first 2 to 3 years, what most centers do is they bank that $100,000 so that you have hopefully close to $300,000 by year three, and then you have kind of a bank amount as you start to move forward and the capital cost of managing and operating the facility begin to go up. And a lot of it's just from use, so a lot of replacement of things like carpet in different portions of the facility. And the greatest issue is just with the numbers of people that come through the facility and just normal wear and tear on building systems and finishes that moving forward.
Okay, so the 100,000 isn't based on service. We're not ready to make just add specific numbers to that based on systems, sort of an average, a percentage of some revenue?
Yeah, based on the size, loosely on the size of the building, the amenities and components that are in there. I mean, if we were going to, as an example, rebuild the center that you currently have, that number would probably be closer to 20,000, maybe 25,000. So it's as large as it is because of the size and magnitude of the building that's there. Once you have a building in place, it's a little easier to project long-term on kind of life cycle costs on building systems, what your prognosis is for capital going down the road until you're to that point, and usually that's done in the first year or so of operation.
You know, inevitably tonight we'll talk about the competitive components and sort of casting those numbers, how we cast them, whether they're conservative or aggressive. I guess the only thing that I want to add go into that discussion.
Can you speak up, please, Mr. Supervisor?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I sometimes forget to speak into the mic. So inevitably, tonight we'll talk about how the numbers were cast for competitive swimming. And so, you know, there's been a team that's worked on this, and Mike Gobrecht, who's in the back, at some point will step up to the mic, and I think we'll sort of have an open discussion about, you know, just how aggressive those numbers are, if they are aggressive. And so I invite you, Mike, sort of at the front end of the public comments, maybe speak to those numbers. And does that make sense?
I,
I think it makes sense now, and then
any
further comments or questions of him, or
I think after the meeting, sorry, I sort of thought it might have been an oversight that we didn't have you as part of the panel, because we really appreciate your input over the past 40 days. So do you want to?
I think that'd be appropriate to dovetail off Ken. So if you don't mind, sir.
That's fine.
And then the supervisors, if they have any questions, then can present them to both of you.
Just one thing moving forward. Again, I think the key factor in this is year two of operation. Part of the issue is how quickly you get to the numbers, whether they're our numbers or whether they're more aggressive numbers. I think as you go out year three, four, and five, some of the numbers that are being presented will be a little impossible just from a time perspective. But we're in that first couple of years as part of this, and that's the important key, not only on this, but in everything else, is looking at that second.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Sir, would you care to address the differential between the revenue projections?
As you get introduced.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Mike Obrecht. I represent large user groups of competitive swimming, Middle Atlantic swimming, YMCA swimming from the state of Pennsylvania. Middle Atlantic swimming also involves parts of New Jersey, parts of Delaware. And we run large swim meets throughout the Middle Atlantic region, and in talking to Justin and some of the others as part of this process, currently we run two swim meets in conjunction with the Hershey Aquatic Club locally up at Bucknell University, and each of those swim meets has about 700 swimmers, 700 age group and college swimmers in them. And we pay Bucknell University about $18,000 for every meet that we run up there. And the question came up, why don't you run more? And I said, well, we'd love to, but Bucknell only gives us the pool for two meets. So, you know, when we're looking for, you know, ways to keep kids active and keep kids involved in competitive sports. We're talking about swimming now, but it could be soccer, it could be field hockey. Having a facility like this and being able to keep those dollars local, myself and others within Middle Atlantic Swimming and representing YMCAs from across the state of Pennsylvania, we're really enthusiastic about the possibility of being able to bring large user groups to Derry Township and be able to have those dollars stay right here in Derry Township should a facility like this get built. And the question always comes up about, well, how do you know you're going to be able to have these type of meets here? The need is there. You know, Middle Atlantic Swimming alone, there's just shy of 10,000 swimmers, and that's the fifth largest area number of swimmers in the country is right within our Middle Atlantic region. Yet we really only have three facilities that we can run those large meets. So having something like this, being able to keep those dollars local, being able to have those parents and kids stay in local hotels, maybe visit Hershey Park or Chocolate World or something like that, that really opened our eyes up to, wow, we could do all of this stuff right here, you know, in central Pennsylvania. And so when Justin and the others asked me to come in and just give some feedback on could we run those swim meets here, those events here, and that doesn't include, you know, the small summer league meets that, you know, could be held here in Derry Township at this facility. And you have these meets, and based on the plan, you still have another smaller area where you can have your swim lessons. And so you're not taking up that space. So is that some good background information? So thank you for allowing me to come and speak. It's a type of project like this is certainly very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, any other questions?
Can you talk a little bit about how swim meets, in other words, why can't we get in writing now that we can have these meets here? In other words, what's the process for how these meets end up in a certain facility?
Basically, it's a yearly process that every year that group within Mill Atlantic Swimming gets together and here's the meets we want to host. What are the facilities large enough to host them? There's events that go on throughout the Middle Atlantic region that unfortunately we can't host because we can't find facilities that are user-friendly, that are friendly to the young people, that are friendly to spectators. There are some facilities throughout the Middle Atlantic, Central Pennsylvania region, where when young kids go to swim, they're only allowed to bring one parent. Meaning both parents can't even see the kid swimming. Or that parent has to sit outside in the gymnasium and watch it on a video screen. So, you know, in this situation, like I referenced a while ago, you know, we hold some big events up at Bucknell University. That's where the PIAA state championship is also held up there because it's a large facility. And parents can watch their kids swim, whether they be 10-year-old kids or whether they be 17-year-old kids. Both parents, grandparents can watch their kids swim. In a lot of other facilities, that's not available. But the reason we run two meets in cooperation and conjunction with our friends from Hershey Aquatic Club is that's all the time that Bucknell University gives us because they have so many other things going on the campus.
So, Mike, you're saying that the committee or the groups with USAA or Middle Atlantic Swimming is the body that decides which
yes.
of the three comparable facilities that the meets will be held at?
That is correct. And a lot of time right now, these larger swim meets are being put in facilities that are very small simply because there's nothing else there. There are certain facilities throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware that I look at a calendar for the months of February and March, and almost every weekend there's some type of activity for kids that is being generating rental money for those facilities. And when I say generating rental money, you're billing out for your lifeguards, you're billing out for everything.
And this has been a learning process for me too, but could you just explain, so at the top of the umbrella is USA Swimming.
Correct.
Middle Atlantic is an LSC.
A local swimming committee, and there are 52 of those in the United States.
So there's 52 local swimming committees. Middle Atlantic is the sixth largest in the country in terms of number of swimmers.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Southern California is the largest, and then I think it's Illinois and Indiana.
Okay.
And we're kind of right underneath.
Okay. So you've been in communication with Mike Seid. Mike Seid was...
He's the director of competition. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight. That's why I'm speaking with him and speaking on his behalf, I should say.
Okay. All right. Would you just sort of stay close to the mic in case...
Sure.
So your testimony tonight that the only reason Middle Atlantic Swimming is not conducting more swim meets at larger end facilities is because there's just
availability. Correct. Availability.
We often hear parents, when you mentioned Bucknell, but there are some other facilities. I think there's one in Camden. Is that where a lot of our local kids end up?
There is one in New Jersey just past Atlantic City, Gloucester County Institute of Technology. And the amount of rental rate they're getting for events that are down there and the quality of facility it is, meaning it's not a real good quality facility. And the reason they're still able to rent that out is there's no place else to go.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Any other questions, Chuck?
No, thank you.
Anyone else? I have a few. Ken, you had mentioned, since we're on the topic of water, and you said a set aside of about $700,000 a year is within this business plan here.
Right.
Okay. I was a little surprised to hear you say that you're not quite certain about what the maintenance, repair, and cost would be. Was that for the facility as a whole, as opposed to just the aquatics? Because I mean, your company has been involved with swimming venues.
No, what I was saying was that it's the replacement cost, and that's going to be based on the actual systems that go into the building. We estimated your ongoing costs of maintenance, everything from utilities to chemical costs to other just ongoing maintenance bits to get you through. In terms of replacement costs going forward, some of that is based on
the actual types of equipment that goes in there, what the shelf life is, or excuse me, the life cycle and duration of those elements. Again, once those all have been specified, once they've actually been put into the building, that's why within that first year, maybe second year of operation, you go through there and you do a life cycle assessment of what they are, because you're doing it on actually what pieces you have in the building.
Yeah, and that's my big concern, that we, you know, after 8 years, major components need to be replaced for $1 million, and we only have $800,000 saved up. And so I'm just wondering if you were able to more finely tune what the anticipated maintenance, repair, and replace cost would be of a 50-meter pool, and whether or not the $100,000 set-aside would be sufficient to meet those demands in the anticipated life expectancy of those systems.
Well, your cost, your capital cost will go up over time. I mean, it isn't going to be $100,000 in years 5, 10, or beyond. They do go up based on, again, kind of a replacement schedule that's developed off of them. You know, we're trying to get you a little bit ahead of the game, but that isn't going to be a static number moving forward.
Understood. And the you had mentioned that we're currently running about $732,000 deficit per year. Is it fair to say that that deficit reflects the dilapidated condition of the existing facility? I mean, part of that is the physical plant being in the condition that it is?
Yes, but I think it also is the amenities you have in there or the lack thereof. I mean, the primary thing that you have in there is a six-lane pool, and the rest of it's, you have a small, Matt calls it a gym. I don't even know if I'd go that far. It's really a multi-purpose room. So you don't have the right components in there to get high cost recovery to begin with. That's one of the problems. And quite honestly, it doesn't generate a lot of usage from the general community because it just doesn't have a lot of the components that people are looking for. So certainly the age of that facility, the cost of just keeping it open and maintained at 55 years are driving up your costs, but there's a lot more involved with that than just
the physical plan.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Based on your market analysis, what price point does a non-resident family be willing to pay?
Well, and we always look at that. I mean, when we actually, as part of this, we were making sure that we have the non-resident price within the marketplace. So in a 25% differential within the marketplace is often what we see. It gives a different distance between what a resident would pay and a non-resident. But the danger is, and what oftentimes we see is sometimes a desire to have a bigger differential. And then at that point, you have one element that's out of the market.
Right.
Either in order to, you're either pricing the non-resident out of the market and saying, we don't need them, which is not the case here. Or you're discounting so low to your resident market that you're not generating the revenue you should be. So 25% is a good number where it's large enough to say there's a difference, but we can get both of them kind of within the marketplace without having one too low and one too high.
Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of facilities use that number.
So, Cameron, Matt, how does that compare to what the differential is now for resident versus non-resident?
It's pretty similar to where we are now. Okay.
Now, I'm not that, admittedly, not that great in math, but a 25% differential at a $900 per year family, my calculations indicate that a non-resident family membership, annual membership, would be
$1,125
a year. That's it. All right. Can't believe you got that right. So, now, that's $225 above what a resident family will.
Right.
And Ben, and again, you're better at math than I am. I did some back of the napkin calculations, and at a 0.9 millage increase, as opposed to the 0.567 mill increase, that 0.9 mill increase, that $225 is. That difference is made up. That difference at a 0.9 mil increase would be a $225 differential. That $225 differential, when you add the tax increase plus the cost to be a family member.
Yes.
I'll have to double check that.
Okay.
That's doing it on the fly, but I'm sure your math is right.
So it seems like so that a millage of 29, that residents and non-residents would essentially be paying the same rate for family memberships per year, at least as these numbers break down.
That seems maybe that's not apples to apples, you know.
Well,
we don't do that for comparison. Yeah. I mean, I think that's interesting to look at that, but I'm not sure.
Well, I was just concerned that, of course, when we factor in the tax increase plus the cost of a resident membership, that it not be less than what a non-resident, or that it not be more than what a non-resident is paying. So that taxpayers in their township aren't subsidizing non-residents' memberships. That's the only thing I'm getting at, but just making sure that happens at a 0.9 millage increase. It seems like that's the break-even point. And if I'm wrong, please let me know. So looking at page 33 of the business plan, it appears as though given that $1,125 membership fee, the business plan contemplates approximately 25 non-residential family members, annual passes.
What we did was on the
Page 33, yes. It had a non-residential number of $27,885. Divided that by $1,125, it came up with 25 non-residents annual passes for planning purposes in this model.
Yeah, what we did is we took a percentage in terms of how many passes, regardless of whether they were family or not. And let's see, I can tell you what, I don't think it's on that actual, but on our worksheets we have that. It's, to recall, it's 20% of all the pass sales, and 20% of the annual pass sales and 20% of the month-to-month would be non-residents.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that number could actually be a little bit higher, but we were conservative because it does reflect revenue, so we didn't run that up too high on that.
Right. Now, look at this, 12% of the revenue is based on fitness component, is that right?
No, 12% of the revenue was based on, as I recall, on that, was from the fitness programs, not from the fitness elements. In other words, that's from actual organized programming that takes place utilizing the fitness aspects of the center, not the revenue that's directly attributable from the admission fees to the fitness site. Which would be a substantial portion of as much as 25 to 30% of your membership and fee revenue is directly attributable to fitness. Besides that, there's a fee adjustment associated with that for that element being there. So even if we remove that out of there, we would have to reset the rates because the value is much lower now without that element. So
valuable membership
is now going. So then that would drop it even further out of that. But make no mistake, that is a major driver on the overall revenue coming out of fees and admissions.
And I was just curious, I mean, are there any updates? Do we have any memorandum of understanding or letters of intent with respect to commitments on that aspect of this center? And is that reflected in the business plan?
I'm sorry, Mark.
That's okay. I was just wondering whether we have any letters of intent or memorandum of understanding regarding how we're going to satisfy this fitness component.
As of right now, the way that this plan is...
right now, the way that this plan is being presented is that the center would provide both cardio and weight equipment as part of the fitness. We are also provide all of the group fitness exercises at this time.
So township personnel would be providing those services?
That's correct. We are, there is some discussion about potential for group personal training being a contracted service, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But individual personal training would be done in-house.
Okay. And, that's what's reflected in this model?
No.
That we're looking at right now?
That's the basis.
Okay. All right. And on the swimming aquatics commitments, is it routine or normal not to have, and I understand the mechanics of, you know, the types of local swimming organizations. Is it normal not to, as defense entities are embarking on this type of process, not to have any sort of commitment by swimming organizations that they will, in fact, commit to a certain amount of meets over a certain amount of period of time, so as to not have the municipality have to just rely on promises or
intent, I would say is the word. Yes, it would be advisable if you can get that. I think one of the things that was stated, that's a little hard right now for us to do that, quite honestly. You know, wearing the township hat and the financial aspect of it, I would say, yeah, the more you can get a commitment, it's the basis for the commitments that are made there. That's why we brought this back. It's a little bit difficult to estimate that at this point. We want to be conservative. Our goal is to have our facility outperform the numbers that we put down here. Not to come up with a shortfall in some case where everybody's sitting going, now what do we do?
Right.
Again, they talked about committed to doing, you know, did it two meetings at Bucknell. Well, we increased the number to four, so we doubled that in terms of those kinds of meets. It's just how aggressive you want to be. I think the other numbers and the secondary, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're eight. So it's just a matter of how far you want to go with that. We just think there's enough uncertainty about that, especially for year two, where this model is based off of, to be that aggressive. Again, the grand scheme of things, we're talking about a swing of about $70,000. So this is not, in my mind, a huge swing in revenues that's going to dramatically impact this thing. But it's just how you approach all right. this. And so it's just a matter from the board of how conservative and how aggressive that you want to be. The rest of it is pretty conservative. This piece is a little more aggressive.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the number differential. I'm just talking about getting a level of commitment, a level of comfort here amongst the board supervisors that before we make that final decision, whether it's normal to make a decision of this magnitude without having some sort of written understanding of the level of commitment of those entities.
Again, I would say if you could get that letter of commitment, I think we'd all feel a lot better. That's pretty unusual. I don't know that you could, quite honestly, get that. I still know, quite honestly, it's really fair to them. I don't know that they would make that commitment, but I still think they can.
Okay.
Mike, are those commitments made more a year out?
Yes, a year out.
And it would be difficult to find someone now to sign for something for 2.5 years out.
I think with a lot of youth sports, it could be like that.
And I mean, so it's hard to get that answer, but putting revenue aside for a second, I guess I sometimes come back to, you know, the basic question, are we building too much water? In other words, whether it's swimming, or whether it's our residents using it, or whether it's new programming, are we building too much water? And I think that's the root of the discussion, really, that is the question. Matt, I mean, what's your comment on that? I mean, do you foresee this water being used? Right now, obviously, residents that want to swim at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday can't do that. There's a lot of demand that's not being met. So generally, what's your feeling about the pool? The competitive pool.
As you just mentioned, Justin, and I think I referenced it in my opening in terms of the beginning sections of the business plan. Certainly, we can't meet the aquatic needs of the community right now because we have the 6-lane indoor pool. 10 in the afternoon, it's Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning until 2:30 or so in the afternoon. That body of water is basically unavailable for anyone in the community. As per the board's direction, when we were going through conceptual plans and the decisions made to go 50, certainly it opens up quite a bit of additional availability of water for our residents. And if you sit down and really go through all the configurations of what that 50-meter pool, all the configurations that you can get out of it, the various uses that you can get at the exact same time, is pretty substantial. So to answer your question, 50 meters is going to definitely provide much more water surface area in terms of property.
Yeah.
Follow up to your question, Matt. Can you talk a little bit about the current water we have and how it will be different with the new center? I mean, I've heard said that we're essentially moving water around and we're moving the large amount of water indoors and we're finding a way to attach some revenue to it. And clearly they wouldn't be building a 50-meter pool just to host 8 or 10 or 12 swim meets a year. There's other purposes, as you just mentioned. So can you kind of come here for us and explain the rationale?
Sure. And I don't have the exact square footage on the top of my head, but there is going to be a little additional square footage in terms of water surface area. But the existing community pool outside currently and originally was constructed, and it was a 50-meter long course pool. So if you go from basically the cement steps towards Cocoa Avenue, that's basically the 50-meter length. That would be being moved indoors now. The reason that pool back in 68, I believe that pool was built, the indoor pool was 63, I think it was a few year difference. The regulation in terms of depth of that pool, you could run competitive meets in that outdoor 50 meter. And regulations were changed in terms of starting blocks and the depth you were permitted to start in terms of competitive swimming, and they made that depth level much deeper, so that pool no longer met competitive swimming regulations. So in essence, there is a 50-meter pool that's existing outdoor, which is also our community recreation pool as well. But you moving that indoors with the appropriate depths certainly opens up a lot more programming year-round as opposed to it being outside and really only being available for a few months, 3 months of the year.
Have you factored into this equation the rental of water to like the synchronized swimming folks and Special Olympics and all the different resources that might be in the pool, and in addition to the aquatic community, as we've discussed?
Beyond just the larger swim meet revenue, we do have some other types of uses, but we've been careful on that just because we don't, again, have that identified as much. So that's, and again, trying to be conservative at this point, have not factored in huge utilization from those groups. We would certainly hope they would be strong users of that. What their price points will be and those types of things, I think, is yet to be determined. So there's some allocation for that, but not a strong commitment of revenue dollars from those sources.
And I also think that, and I think I mentioned this in my opening too, is that we know the available programming hours and those programming hours and those windows of time that are going to be available for programming in those areas. So once again, I think Ken's approach and Sperm's approach is that we're going to utilize representative programming at an income level that is realized in the market, and that is a figure that is good to put into a business plan as a benchmark. And certainly as we continue to move into opening, we're going to be able to get into much more specifics. To answer your question in terms of synchronized swimming, I know they want to expand. They have a waiting list and weren't able to expand because our deep end of our current pool can't accommodate that. We're always open and willing for expansion of our special. There's a lot of user groups that currently use the facility that would be able to expand.
I think it's important to note, Ken, you mentioned this, that this is just sort of a projection for the first few years, and certainly there's revenue that we may not know of yet, also maybe some expenses we don't know of yet, but it's a good look at what we might be looking at in the next few years, and then something that we can continue to attract to them.
Yes, and as I think we get closer to the opening, and some of these groups, you can get somewhat of a commitment to, then that gets added into the pro forma. It says, okay, we have synchronized that says we will purchase so much pool time at this rate. We can add that in there, and that's the beauty of this document. That may, and I would hope that a lot of that would occur before the facility actually opens, so we will, you know, it's a living document. We keep refining as we move forward here, and we would try to tie down most of that stuff, at least with letters of intent. It's a little easier to get that from your in-town user groups. So I would think that's a realistic goal on some of these other potential users, to get those kinds of at least letters of intent that would allow us then to add that in.
Can you mention a
public comment at some point?
Yeah, just one real quick question. You mentioned an assumption of $13 per room per night rebate. Where did that come from?
So that whole concept actually came to us, local youth sports organization, specifically our soccer organization, utilizes this concept with the large soccer tournaments that everyone's aware of comes into our community. And what they end up doing is contracting with kind of a clearinghouse of hotels that they have contracts with. And anyone that comes and participates in a swim event at our facility as part of their packages and for their hotel arrangements, they would have to book through these certain hotels that are part of this contractual arrangement. And as a result, then the facility would realize, I think we have $13 per room night to be generated as revenue for the event.
Right, I understand the mechanics of it. My question was, though, have we spoken to those venues and have they agreed to contribute $13 per room per night?
We spoke to the gentleman that currently is in cooperation with the American Christian Soccer Association. Mm-hmm. And he has ongoing relationships with those hotels. We don't have anything in writing,
right?
But that arrangement is already in place. Mm-hmm.
If I could just add to that, it was thanks to Tony Potter. Many of you know Tony Potter. You might be here tonight. Reach out to me and told me about this program. It's very well run. This gentleman has arrangements with over 100 local hotels. The interface is really good. Basically, for the soccer tournament, the deal is if you want to be part of the soccer tournament, you have to work with that.
Right.
That's just how it's done.
That'd be great.
And so it was he came and did a presentation, and it's really slick. So it's basically the rule is, and we ran this by Mike Gilbert, and the rule is if you want to have an event at this facility, you have to book on this interface.
Part of the charge,
yeah.
Okay. Well, if the supervisors have any additional questions, I would like to open the floor to members of the public for questions. Anybody wishing to address the board of supervisors, please approach the podium, state your name, your address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it'd be greatly appreciated. I also want to emphasize that because we have public comment period at our regular meeting, this public comment I'd like to limit to the issue of the business plan and the business plan only. If you want to talk about your overall thoughts or comments about the community center as a whole, I invite you to do that at our regularly scheduled meeting. We have two public comment sections during regularly scheduled meetings. So if anybody wanting to come up, if they could limit their remarks to business plan, that'll be wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Jim Eilis, 59 Oak Lane, about 2 blocks away from the swimming pool. And I took my daughter, my granddaughter there, and when we went there in the heat of the summer, it was empty. So I'm having a hard time believing that user fees are going to pay the bill. And I heard you say we're already short $733,000 in user fees, and the plan will bring it down to short $600,000. I heard that. And on my one block of Oak Lane, there are 5 houses. 4 of us are over age 70 and have fixed incomes. And we were very concerned about ending up with Dolphin Highlands or a Harrisburg incinerator type activity where the township guarantees a loan of $32 million and has no chance to pay for it, and we get taxed out of our houses. If you could comment on that, please.
Bob, I appreciate your concerns, and thank you for coming here tonight. And the members of the board here are understand your comments, your thoughts, and your concerns. Ma'am?
I think I can speak loud enough that everyone can hear me. I have many kids, so I don't have to be like. Some of the questions. Senior Center, can that be built? Would the Granada Avenue School be used for that, or our old community center, are there rooms for that? I'm Shirley Grimm. I've been a resident of Derry Township for 50 years. I've operated a business in town for 35 years. Just got out of it last year, and the reason we got out of it is, guess what? You cannot get help. I hear this complex being built, and everybody thinks they're going to get all this help. We pay more than minimum wage. We pay bonuses. We've treated our people wonderful. You could not get help. Unfortunately, I got older, and I aged, and I couldn't do it anymore. So we had to give up the ship. Olympic swimming pool. Does Milton Hershey have an Olympic swimming pool? And do they or can they hold meets at that school? Another thing I'm concerned about is parking for this big mecca that we want to build. We don't have parking. People are going to have to park on Hopeful Avenue, which is a real problem now. Outdoor swimming pool. All the towns around are getting rid of their outdoor swimming pools. Fort Collins, Colorado, my son lives there. They got rid of all their, they're getting rid of all their town pools, and the only thing that they're putting outside are water pads, which is just a concrete pad with water spraying up through it. I agree with the gentleman. I drove by the plaza every day for 35 years. And every day you see fewer and fewer and fewer people there. We're forgetting that we have one of the best water parks in Derry Township, right over here at Hershey Park. They're expanding for $170 a summer. You can get a season ticket and go in there and use all the fun stuff. People don't want to just stand in water anymore. Maybe we could build a texting park for our kids. Population of Derry Township of 25,000. We had 160 people show up to give $100. That tells me that that's a 0.064%, less than 1% of people that were willing to come and give $100 for this. Are we paddling down the wrong community? I'm afraid.
That brings up an interesting point. The revenue projections do not factor into any contributions, material contributions from the Mueller Senior Center as an occupant of this building. Is that correct?
Actually, they are paying about $1,900 a month. It's about $23,000 a year, which is comparable to what they're paying now, is our understanding. Okay. There is an allocation in the revenue side from them for that.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
My name is Stephen Hartzell, 837 Whitehill Drive in Deer Run. By my count here, we're looking at it as far as a change in deficit is about $144,000. And at $32 million, we're looking at a 222-year payoff for this facility, which seems long. And that's just a comment. I do have a couple questions. It was a little bit confusing in the presentation because, at first, the comment about the revenue for facility rentals for meets was aggressive, that our estimates were aggressive. And then later on, it was said that we were conservative. So which one is it? And is there really, just because we say that Bucknell only let us hold an event in their pool twice a year, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the limiting factor. What is the limiting factor? Is there the volume in the community to actually hold, in the swimming community, to actually hold four of these events or eight of these events? Just because we say, okay, we can only get it twice a year, if we say, all right, we're going to do four, and nobody shows up for the other two, how do we know that we're really going to be able to sustain that level of use? And another question pertaining to the rate structure, how granular can that rate structure become as far as what facilities a person wants to use? Can I pay for just the pool and nothing else? Can I pay for just the gym and nothing else? And when the month-to-month membership, is that just something that I can cancel anytime and pay again later, or how does that work?
You want to take a crack at that?
Regarding the rate structure, it is the rates, whether they're the daily rate or the 1 month, 3 month, are for the use, the drop-in use of any of the amenities that are open at that particular time. So regardless of whether you're using the pool, the walking track, the gym, the fitness area, it's the same rate. It's really difficult as an operator to have different rates for different portions of the facility because we can't control who goes where or the access to that. Our firm's been involved with over 200 public facilities of similar nature across the country that are up and operating now, and we've actually moved some facilities, one that I operated myself, away from that fee model because it was not simply workable. So that's pretty much the trend in terms of the way it works. So it's a one fee, you pay for whatever that you want to do within the facility based on what's available. I think the, in terms of what the other question was related to the fee structure was,
it was not
canceled. Oh, month-to-month and canceled. The month-to-month is generally either requires a one-year commitment and then it goes month-to-month, or it can be a month-to-month and you have, once you get on, you have to ask to get off, and then if you decide to in a sense, sign up again, you have to pay basically 2 months up front to do that. So you can't, it's not real easy to just hop on for a while, hop off. That's why there's just a single 1 month. There's no commitment or 3 months. So if you want that flexibility, there's other options to that. So there is a little bit, but if, you know, if you're saying, well, I'm going to sign up for these 3 months and then drop it for three, in the long run, that won't be cost effective. You'd be better to go with one of the other fee options.
So is there or is there not a summer membership? You pay to be a member for 3 months in a month?
There is. There was a 3 month on there. Now, that's any 3 months at this point where you want them. So you can sign up June, July, and August for, you know, that. So, but you can make it May, June, or July. There's no, you know, no time frame for that. You can certainly use it as a summer if you wanted to. There's a lot of fee options in there. Basically, finding something that works for you is the key.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to address?
Thank you.
Lynn Miles on Oak Lane, married that other guy. I thought I heard Mr. Ballard say that the fitness component or the gym facilities were a pretty significant part of the revenue budget. And my question is, we have a lot of fitness facilities, commercial ones here, plus the ones at Hershey Medical Center, already in Derry Township. And is there a market for the new community center to have people sign up for those gym facilities when they already exist here, both large and small? I mean, we've got people that do specialty gym training and stuff for old folks and people on a cycle, and there's all kinds of things here, Golds and Planet Fitness, and I just wonder how that fits into your marketing plan, and in addition to whether public should be competing with private, but that's another issue. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, as part of this, several years ago, we did kind of the feasibility study that looked at not only your demographics, but also the presence of other providers in the marketplace. So we're keenly aware of all the facilities that she mentioned and that they're out there. That reflects into our business plan in terms of the rates of market penetration. And we were more conservative than usual with that because of the presence of other providers. It's not unusual in more urban areas to have all sorts of other providers in the marketplace. Again, I think the beauty of this facility is because of the versatility of the types of things you can do in within this. It's not just a fitness facility. It's not just an aquatic facility. It's got a variety of different types of amenities, different types of services. The price points to get in, the ability to access the facility is much broader than a lot of other facilities. So all that was factored in this type of facility. And we've seen facilities of this nature in much, actually, facility in a market where it has a lot more providers than even that you have here, and they've still done fine. So yes, we factored in, the simple answer is yes, we factored in the presence of other providers in the marketplace in estimating our revenues coming out of the different fee options.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board?
Hi, my name is Tom Breyer. I live on Cedar Avenue, right in town. I want to thank you for the presentation. I haven't been paying as much attention as I should have. It's my first time here. I'm just following on paper. But just in terms of your feasibility study, the resident and non-resident participation numbers, are they based on current numbers or, again, on an improved facility expectation?
On the new facility and with the amenities that are there, not solely based off of what's occurring now.
And in terms of the rebate from the hotels, I'm not that familiar with it, but I have been on the travel basketball circuit for a long time. And a lot of the times, that rebate went back to the promoter and not to the facility. Is that cleared up? Is that go to the facility? Because a lot of times, the promoter takes that rebate. I just asked that question because that's the way it works in the basketball world. But and then I just had one further question. I think it's just the feasibility study. Again, I live near the plaza and I go by it every day and it's not filled. And I also go to the fitness center and that's not filled. Sometimes I'm the only one in the fitness center. And so I just, again, you know, I appreciate the fact that there'll be a spectacular amenity here, but I'm just wondering about whether that demand is going to be there. Is that? And then just one final question. Who's the decision maker for the aquatic entities? Are they all separate? My understanding is this is an association. Are you representing an association?
Mid-Atlantic Swimming, yes.
And that has members. Could you describe how that works and who the decision makers are and who would be making the call on using the facility?
Well, I think there's a number of user groups. You know, there's just like any youth sports, you know, Middle Atlantic Swimming is only one small user group. There's a lot of other user groups, whether it be some summer league swimming, some high school swimming, some age group swimming during the year. Middle Atlantic Swimming is just one user group that would be renting the facility. But there's a number of different user groups that would be looking to rent the facility. There's going to be user groups that would be looking to rent some of the rooms out for birthday parties and stuff like that. So we're just one user group that would be looking to rent the facility.
But the way I understand it is a key component of this would be to have the major events, and that would be your group, right?
Yes. Yes.
So now, I just understand a little more clearly, you're outsourcing those to Bucknell and to Jersey and something like that. I just give us a sense for what that demand would really look like.
Well, I can say right now, it was asked about two of the events we run currently at Bucknell University. They only give us space for two because they don't want us on campus when students are there. And we've run events in conjunction with the Hershey Aquatic Club for about this past year, I believe is our ninth year. And we've had between 680 and 750 swimmers at every one of those meets. Matter of fact, this year another user group came to us and said, can we run an event on the same day as you are at a different facility? We said, please do, because we're turning over 200 kids away because we can't accommodate them.
Okay.
And these are typically held on weekends in the winter, or when do these occur?
Weekends, right. Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
It's typically Friday, Saturdays.
Yes, sir.
In the winter months, generally.
Summer, winter, yeah.
I just don't have an understanding of it.
Understood.
Just wondering how it works.
For clarity's sake, I mean, the township and the staff are going to run the facility, and they are the ultimate determiners of when the swim meets are held, what swim meets are held. As you said, they're just one of the potential user groups, but they're not dictating, nor can they dictate schedules. They will say, we would like to run these meets, we would like to have these dates. It'll be up to the township to decide whether those are available. So they're just, and again, there's other meets that are already factored in here that are high school meets and other things that have nothing to do with their
organization. I don't understand the demand, and I thought he did a good job articulating the potential for his group, but I just don't have a broader understanding.
So they're just another user group. I mean, your basketball group could be running the gym for a basketball tournament or some other, and there will be and we factored in other uses of the facility on rental purposes. I mean, the one big amenity is the big 50-meter pool that lends itself to be able to do that, probably more so than the other amenities of the city.
Thank you, Ken. Anyone else like to address? Mr. Gamble.
Got a question. When you describe the primary Hershey Helmstown Palmyra, your number this time was 64,000. The very first time you presented this, it was 27,000. Your outliers now are 200,000, and the other time it was 64,000. My question to you is, how are you going to expect to get 200,000 expanded area to get there to use a facility, and for what reason? They're not coming now because of access, transportation, parents working. So how are you going to grow it from 64 to 200,000? My second part, you can answer both, because looking at your rate schedule and membership fees, I think the last time you reported was 12% of the population were members of the community center. I just figured it out. For a senior citizen, what was $680 for a year of membership? Something like that? Why should I join when I would not go there 680 times at $8 or whatever it is? And if I went 5 or 6 times a year, that would cost me $48. So how are you casting a generation of monies from people that, even a family? I mean, what's the limit of family? A mother, a father, and 2 kids, and then what's the added cost for 6 kids? These are things I don't think you're answering or you're really looking at. Because I don't know, like every year, Matt can confirm, I would sign up my godson and his mother every year, like 270, 270. Got to the point, they went 4 times. I paid the residence fee, and it was a lot cheaper. And I think a lot of people are going to do that. I mean, some of these activities you're talking about are great, but I think the community is the main concern. And looking at the cost, and look at your population. Take a look at the cross-section of your population. It's not teenagers. It's not 30-year-old adults. It's mostly senior citizens, professionals moving through the community. So you might keep that market in mind, too. But if you could explain how it went from 64,000 to 200,000, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Back in 2015, when we did the original feasibility study, we identified 2 markets. One of them was the primary service area, which again included Derry Township, Palmyra, and Humblestown. At that point, I looked at the numbers today, it was 64,000 and some change on that. So that number hasn't changed from 2015. The secondary market is, we talked about going from Lebanon on the east down to, where were we on the south? And then almost to Harrisburg on the west, up to I-81. That market area hasn't changed. There's 200,000 additional people within that market. We clearly don't expect to draw from that larger market area at the same rate we are within the primary. We've estimated a much, much smaller market penetration rate. And they're realizing that for people to come into this facility on the far reaches of that market area, they are quite a distance away. So we factor in a very much less than probably 10% of the market that we would for within the primary region region. We realize that that's much different. So the numbers are the same. That's what we used based right off the 2015 study for our projections in terms of utilization. You're absolutely right on the rate structure. If you're only going to go 7 or 8 times a year, you're better off buying a daily pass, and that's why they're in there. We factored in people paying daily passes that are only going to utilize the facility a certain number of times a year. If you're coming very often to utilize the facility, then certainly you're getting a 3-month, an annual pass is in your best interest. So it depends upon how often, the types and ways that you're utilizing the facility. So we allocated revenue and utilization to the different forms of admission based on what we typically see in the performance of these types of facilities, realizing that, again, people decide what they're going to buy based on how they see utilizing the facility. And that's the beauty here. A lot of different options for how you can access the facility that doesn't require any type of an annual membership to do that. So we spread the revenue out across those sources, realizing that different people utilize the facility in different ways. And so, you know, that was all went into the planning efforts and the numbers that we developed in terms of the revenue and the sales of the different passes. Our worksheets break down how many seniors we think, how many youth, how many adults, how many families, all of those in terms of the numbers of people we think that will buy the different price options that are listed here on that price sheet.
Thank you, Ken. And I invite you to take a look at that, Mr. Campbell. Sir.
Tom Stang, 25, Boxwood Drive. I don't have a horse in this race. I'm just trying to be educated and understand it a little bit. I'd just like to start out by saying thanks for being open and allowing these meetings to take place. I think it's good that we're able to get together. You put all the information out on the website. It's helpful for us to do our homework before we come here. So I applaud you for doing that. I don't know if you're required to, but I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. But thank you. Thank you for that. I'll try to stick strictly to the business plan. Mike, did you say there's 3 pools, the 50 meter in the Mid-Atlantic, and where are they? This is my first question.
One would be at Bucknell.
Okay.
One would be
New Jersey.
New Jersey. One at Franklin Marshall College.
Okay. Thanks. The document that was up there that was showing the percentages, I believe it said 63% is administrative fees that you're projecting for revenue coming in on the graph, the circular graph that I think you had. I think it said 63% administrative fees. It might have been $1.9 million in annual revenue. I'm leaving this to all the experts that know what they're talking about, but that's the thing that really jumps out and concerns me about $1.9 million in revenue coming in through the administrative side of it. That seems like a tough number for me to understand and to follow. So I just wanted to bring that point up. You may want to look at it a little bit deeper on how they got to that. And I would just ask Matt, what is the current annual revenue from admissions that comes into the center? If that's a number you don't have right now, it's just maybe somebody else knows that. I would just be curious as to what that is. I know it'll be significantly less than what you're projecting, but I was curious as to
that. I don't have it off the bottom of my head.
It would just be an interesting number for me to see.
Tom, that's a great point. I mean, I think about that too, because it's a lot bigger number than what it is now, whatever the number is. And you wonder whether that's going to be
achievable. Facility will really offset that kind of a gap. But
when I ask myself that question, I go to Ken's experience. And so Ken, having been involved with 200 of these across the country, and he has a reputation in the industry for being very conservative. And so this is not talking about swimming around. This is talking about, and Ken, you're telling us you're comfortable with your that number. And that's where I go to when I question. So, but it's a great point.
Yeah, and I just think, Mark, your point that you were kind of getting to about local residents with the tax increase and then the cost of that, and then in addition for the administration, for people to become members in addition to what that number is going to be, I just think that's a number I would look at a little bit harder. As far as the swimming goes, revenue that comes from that, I don't know enough about it, but it just jumps out. 1.9 million is a lot.
Thank you very much. I'll get you that number of admissions, just so we're comparing apples to apples with what's in this plan and what.
And then this would be on the website. This business plan document will mention. Thanks.
Just as a point of clarity, the 1.9 million is from admission fees. That's the daily passes. That's the 1 month. That's the 3 month. The annuals. All of that. So there's no administrative aspect. It's all based on fees and charges that will be generated. It is a big number. As was said, we base this off of not only what the market tells us, what the facility is, but also our history of doing this. We're a firm that's been in business for 26 years. We've done probably 800 feasibility studies for similar facilities in 49 states. We have over 200 facilities up and running, and we're known for being conservative in our estimates and for generally having our facilities outperform the performance that we've put together. Here, just within your own state, we did the Friendship Center over in Harrisburg. That facility consistently outperformed the numbers we put together for it years ago when it was done. We did the Upper St. Clair facility that's outside of Pittsburgh. That's now coming up on 10 years old. That's consistently outperformed our numbers from the beginning. Greater Plymouth Community Center in the Philly area, another one that's very similar. It's been around for a long time and has consistently outperformed our numbers. Montgomery County has a new facility that we've done. So we've got a lot of history of doing not only these facilities across the country, but doing them here in your state. So we certainly rely on that, and we're careful on the numbers we put together to make sure that these are workable and doable. I understand those are big numbers, but this is a unique facility, and we've seen these numbers other places, and we've taken into account all the comments that you brought up this evening, and certainly that's important. We looked at the demographics. We know your age cohorts. We know how you're trending. We know the presence of other providers. All of that was put into place when we estimated the revenue sources that would be in this facility moving forward. So we're used to doing this, and again, we're known for being conservative. My hope would be, once this facility's been open for a couple of years, you'd come in and say, wow, that deficit wasn't five, whatever it was. It was significantly below that. And we'd all be happy with that. And that's certainly what we strive for in all of our planning efforts. And that's just a little bit of background on kind of how we get to this point.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the board?
Oh, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Stephanie DiDonatis. I live at 16 Almond Drive over in Cocoa Town. I think that as a returning resident, having lived away for a while, I think that what I worry about is the small town community feeling and not to be exploited. I think that we do need a new facility, but I think that a $32 million price tag is a pretty big one. I saw that you did make, during your presentation, you made two different scenario presentations. I'd like to respectfully request that you do a scenario that's without the 50-meter pool, just to see if it would be more feasible for us and we'd be more comfortable with a smaller pool. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mark, would you rather have me wait to the 7 o'clock meeting?
It doesn't matter.
Why the bigger audience?
Well, I don't know. This is the single biggest expenditure that this township is undertaking, and I don't want to cut anybody short or not allow anybody to inquire into some relevant.
So if you all think you've been busy for the past 4 weeks, you can ask my wife how many times she's answered the phone in my house as a result of this whole thing. So Lou Pioletti, citizen, tax collector. Couple things. And I got here tonight, and I'm going to try to keep it to the business.
That's what I asked.
Oh, no, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be tough, but I'm going to, you just, all right?
Okay.
Okay. This is a warm-up, then I'll do the fireworks later. Okay? So I heard a couple things tonight, and I have no speech prepared, just making a lot of notes. I heard Stephanie here talk about concern about the community. Another gentleman thanked the board for its transparency by putting these meetings on the website. I absolutely agree with both of those comments. I do think, it's just a little side note, because it is directly attributed to this meeting. I do think this meeting, if y'all look around, this is, as convoluted as this may sound, this is proof that the system is not working, actually. This is proof that the system is not working. While, yes, our township, and I think these are all tremendously, tremendously good people on the township, and especially to, I got to tell you something, Matt Mandia, we are very lucky, I'm not BSing you, we are very lucky to have a director of Parks and Recs. Like Matt Mandia, and the only thing I regret is that I had to give my good friend Jim Negley, who's been more than nice to me over the past 13 years, that if I gave you any heartburn in the past 4 or 5 weeks, I sincerely apologize. The elected officials, they deserve the heartburn. You do not, and I do appreciate all the work you've done. So. You know, this all started, and I don't take a whole lot of credit here, but this all started from a front page op-ed, all right? And there's something wrong when we advertise these things on the website, but yet people still don't come to the meetings. So the only thing I would recommend is, like any business process, you keep looking backwards to see what we can do, what can we do to improve it. Okay, real quick. I heard a couple things about the fitness center, and I'm just going to quickly reiterate what I heard. You know, 3 years, when did we hand over the Granada Avenue gym to Power Train? 3 years ago? Okay. It was the Granada Avenue gym. It was a great...
You've got 30 seconds left.
30 seconds left? Okay. Okay. Keep watch your clock. Okay, the Granada Avenue gym was closed because it was not sustainable for business. We were losing money. So what are we doing? We are including an elaborate fitness center with an indoor running track in this new $32 million rec center. On top of the potential 30% tax increase, if my math is correct, I'm seeing a 45% increase in the daily fees for adults and a 33% increase and the daily fees for the use, okay? For $32 million, based on what I saw on the design, we got rid of the free outdoor basketball courts. Those are gone. And speaking of free, related to the business plan, okay, we gave away the pool for free one day. Nobody was there. There were almost as little people there as attended the fundraiser 2 weeks ago.
Usually starting.
Okay, Mark.
All right. I'll be back. Okay. You got it. I'm Brian Link, 230 West Arriba. Sorry, I didn't realize the board meeting started at 5:30, but Mr. Ballard, I assume, and then you're with Ballard King as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How many of those hundreds of facilities were 50-meter pools? Maybe percentage?
Pretty small percentage of them. I don't even want to hazard a guess. We've actually, ourselves, we've operated 4 different 50-meter pool complexes ourselves across the United States.
Okay, so to your point that you've been conservative in the past, do you feel that you have a wide breadth of knowledge to support the financing that you're showing or the revenue that you're showing for the 50-meter pool?
Yes, but as I stated, the rest of the operating plan as we look to revenue is, we think, pretty conservative. We've been a little more aggressive, even on the first scenario, in terms of the revenues coming out of the 50-meter than we have the rest of the document. The second option is more aggressive than the first option.
So you've been more aggressive in the revenues from the 50-meter pool. Just looking at the infographic, the township is estimating a loss of approximately $350,000 annually. No, I'm sorry. 530, is that the number?
589.
So, and that's being aggressive on revenue from the 50-meter pool. I want everyone to think about that. You know, the financing for 20 years is going to be around $2 million with the amount of fundraising so far. And just to keep the lights on and the pumps running, we're going to be losing somewhere between $580 and $1 million more like it if we don't fill that pool every meet weekend. You know, that's the reality of it. That 50-meter pool is going to be an albatross around this township's neck. And I'm all for sustainability, but everyone who does sustainable design knows smaller is better. So, you know, from an operating standpoint, and like Lou, I have some other things to bring up in the next meeting, and I'm sad I missed the presentation, but from an operating standpoint, this 50-meter pool is going to be way more than $32 million upfront cost to the township. And I don't think Ballard King or really anyone is in a great position to say that this is a good investment. This is just not something a township should be investing in, a 50-meter pool. And there aren't that many out there because they're obviously not good investments. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jean Camera, and I too want to thank everyone who over the years has been working toward this goal. And it's probably, from your point of view, you're looking and seeing, well, where were these people 3 years ago? Why are they all here now and they weren't here before? I think when you start putting numbers to goals and objectives, that's when people really start to listen, and that's why you see so many people here tonight, because we really do care. I just recently started with Matt's sending me some information. I'm really just starting to dig into a lot of this information. There's a lot to absorb, but I too want to be a good citizen, and I just want to respectfully challenge or ask the board to consider what I kind of consider the crux of this, and that is the assumption. Whenever you write a business plan, you're making a lot of assumptions. And the little that I've done so far in reading, I challenge a lot of the assumptions. The biggest assumption that I challenge is that it's okay to have a current deficit of $733,000 a year, and that even with our new facility, it's okay to have a deficit of $350,000 or $500,000 or whatever. I challenge the board that deficit should be zero. And that's, as a taxpayer and a good citizen, that's what I'm looking for. If you took a poll of this room, you would probably find that we all want something. We all see the need. Mueller Center, I'm in the senior group. Mueller Center is busting at the seams. We all see a need. And we're here because we do care about our community. But the $32 million is the problem. And I will continue to dig more into this and address my concerns to the board. I appreciate all your hard work on this.
Thank you for coming.
Hi, Lindsay Drew, 73 Carousel Circle. Thank you for the presentation this evening. And I would agree with the statement that it takes attention when numbers get into that. And I've certainly spent my own personal time calculating the numbers and trying to understand what that potential impact would be from the low end to the high end. I am a supporter, and so I understand that I'm in the minority speaking here right now. but I'm asking folks to take a few things into consideration. When you look at the projections before a 50-meter pool was included, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was around $20 to $25 million? $27 million. And so to move to a 50-meter pool, we're looking at $32
million.
It's about $4 million. So the tax difference on that, the operational expense difference on that, is rather low in comparison to the overall operating expenses and the change in revenue. But when you look at a 50-meter pool versus a 25-meter pool, and I should disclose that I don't have a child that's a swimmer. I'm not in aquatics, so I don't really have any skin in the game from that perspective. But when you look at the difference in potential revenue, if we're all as a community saying the current facility can no longer meet the needs of the community, it is past its age and prime, and something has to be done. Our options are a $25 or $27 million facility with a 25-meter pool that does exactly what this current facility that we have today does, or we do a $32 million facility that has a 50-meter pool that expands 2 to 3 times the amount of capacity that we're able to service. So not only are we able to take the need that is not being met today and meet that need, but we're also able to look at what our future revenue. And while it's hard to wrap our hands around how are we going to get to that number, is that water going to be used to the fullest extent, we're looking at 2-year projections. And I think that it takes a lot longer than that to fully realize the potential. And so I think that we need to be careful to not be short-sighted in looking at the other benefits, the additional revenue to the town. When you're looking at the 700 spectator sport, the actual impact to our lives as residents on any given weekend for that is rather minimal when you look at the volume of people that come in for one event at the Giant Center or one day at Hershey Park. So I think that we have to look at that, you know, in not just a tunnel vision. And the fact is that we have the presence of the Hershey Company and Hershey Entertainment Corporations in our town. We may or may not like that, but the fact is there. And so if our town has an opportunity to receive benefit of tax revenue, whether it be additional hotel usage and a rebate there, or additional income on businesses, you know, being recognized, then why not leverage that opportunity while we have it? Because they're not going anywhere. And so if we have an opportunity to benefit, you know, from their increased taxes, why not take that?
Any music is starting.
I completely understand, and thank you for the opportunity. My last comment, if I could just say kind of one last thing, is I would ask all elected officials to really be careful. I appreciate Mr. Paoletti's time and response, but I think that we need to be mindful of the way that we present things, and also, you know, to give respect to all and not make this a grand fanfare.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there any other takers this evening? Again, we are going to have a regular meeting with public comment before or in the beginning and towards the end. But keep your remarks to this time.
Okay. I think I'm just addressing that. The numbers that were, I don't know if I'm exact on here. I think you said the current facility is running at $733,000. And projected at a $590,000 deficit, is that right, plus or minus?
That's one of the options.
Anyway, that doesn't include any, that's strictly operating deficit. That doesn't include any debt service or any other money, correct?
Does not include debt service.
All right, so that's strictly operating. All right, I just want to go over that. And the other thing, this is related to the operating. It'll be quick, under 3 minutes, man.
Okay,
I was at the zoning hearing board the other night, and I think they were talking primarily about parking, sharing space with the school district in terms of parking. It's my understanding, I think, Matt, from that meeting, they were talking about plus or minus 500 cars. Is that correct? For a meet, for a competitive swim meet?
Yes, there was plus or minus 500 athletes at the site. 500. Average 500 athletes at the site at any given time.
Okay. And in reference to this Middle Atlantic tournament or swim meet, the numbers were far higher. Is that correct?
And so, Bob, just to clarify, so there's, I think there's roughly 380 spaces on the current site, and then there would be up to 413.
With the school.
I think that's right.
Okay. I guess my only point is, if you crank up numbers like that, the Middle Atlantic stuff, you're going to have cars parked on Cocoa Avenue, Oak Lane, the whole way down to Chocolate. And I don't think it's accurate or reflective to use quote-unquote low-ball numbers for parking, because on the assumption you're trying to maintain some kind of community, I think those numbers will be totally skewed.
That's and to that point, Lindsay, who just talked through, who's on the school board, made a good point when we were in front of them that, you know, there's an issue now with swim meets. People park on, obviously Coco's okay, but then they park.
Well, it's a bad least resistance. They're not going to go be bussed over to
right.
the school. They can get out of their car in Coco and just...
Right, so the point is that there's an issue now, and it's probably something we need to start addressing in terms of whether it's permit parking or I don't know what the solution is, but it's something we definitely have to think about.
Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate it.
Ma'am?
My name is Carol Knight. I live on Rouse Road. And I just want to say, with the Mid-Atlantic, the big meets coming in, when they're there, the township people that have paid for the rec center won't be able to use it. So if they have a meet in the basketball thing, that is, then the township people who have paid won't be able to use that. And living near Shanks Park, when the soccer meets are there, that is a mess. Those people are everywhere. There's no, you cannot use that park at all during that weekend. They park, they do use the Christian school, the Lancaster Mennonite now, but they have walked across, you know, yards, left garbage and stuff as they're walking through. They aren't respectful of the people living there at times. And I just, since this is such a high number, I don't know if the board would consider just putting in two of those in November, letting the township, the citizens, since we would have to be paying for it, let them, if the majority decides that this is what we should do.
Is there anyone else that would like to go to the board on the business plan at this time?
Pat, while we're waiting, could you address the concern about residents not being able to use the facility during an event weekend?
Sure. One of the main reasons that we've been looking at the shared parking agreement was to, on the weekends that the tournaments or events would be held at the community center, in advance of those events, there'll be packets sent out to all the participating teams and individuals coming. They would be assigned parking at the school district lots, primarily over by the early childhood center and the lot between middle school and elementary school, which is, I believe one of the board members said, about 435 spots in total. There would be some residual parking in the 385 at the community center as well, but our intent would be to designate parking within that 335 for folks to be able to still come to the community center to utilize the services.
We even talked about the fact that for maybe all but one, maybe two meets a year, the facility would remain open. You know, portions of the 50 meter might not be available, but even in our discussions, we talked about that the rest of the facility would be available for community usage. We cannot afford to be shutting down that entire building for events, and we understand that there's at risk utilization and the revenue coming from the residents. So that's been the planning model, as is the parking concerns as part of this.
Thank you. Sir?
Yeah. Greg Moat, I live on East Glen Road. I had two questions. Just to clarify, the lady that spoke a little earlier made a comment about it used to be like 27 or 28 million to build something without the pool. But then she made a comment like that would only basically put us back to where we are with a facility that doesn't have everything we need. Is that an accurate statement, like that 27 million would build, like rebuild a like-for-like version of what we have, or is that not really true? I'm not like trying to discredit what she said. I'm trying to understand, like, there were two plans, but I thought that one was just one building without the giant pool inside versus still a very large building just without the pool.
So the delta between the two is $4 million between doing a 25-yard pool and a 50-meter pool.
But it would include all the other features that you were talking about.
It there would be a lot of programming, yeah. It would be less water.
Yeah, okay. So just less water. Okay. And then just another question. I don't know if you know this is something you can answer now or not, but I was looking on the website and you had like a lot of information, like some sort of
infographic.
Yeah, a lot of information. But on there, I was looking for like what the township is actually indebted to right now, and I saw a figure of like $9 million something, but then it was like $22 million was another number, and so I'm not sure what the differences are between those two, but at the end it said $22 million, and so I was curious, what is the projected change if this project takes place at current funding levels now? If it's 9 or 22, what does it become? There was a legal limit what the township could borrow, somewhere in the $60 million range. And so I just don't know, like, how close to that are we actually projecting we would fall?
Go ahead.
I think that $22 million is closer to the current, and that $27 million would be the additional funding. But the guy answered that question first.
I think according to all the calculations that we've been doing that you guys have been providing, $27 million, because $5 million would come from capital campaign. So
that's
the difference between
27.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board at this time on the business plan?
I just have a quick question for Doug, because I think it's important. And I'm not sure if it's Matt or maybe Ken or maybe even Jim could address this, but I forget who it was, but somebody mentioned about operating in a deficit. And that would probably come as a shock to most, because we don't like to operate our homes in a deficit. But municipalities run in a deficit, and I think all of our departments in the township run in a deficit, except for
the coast is community development,
which assesses fees for applications submitted. But and that's typical, Jim, right? I mean, that's not abnormal that municipalities offer these services and run in a deficit, whether it's the library or bike trails, roads, it's all in a deficit. So that's not to depress you more. That's just the reality that's how municipalities run. It may seem odd, but that's
as a sovereign, you have to balance your budget, right? There are some activities that run a deficit, but as a sovereign, you have to balance your budget.
That's right.
Or else you raise taxes. I mean,
No, definitely.
I think just you've been running this facility as a deficit, as a community service in a way, right? As an amenity to the community.
But so is the library running a deficit?
Right. But generally speaking, the budget has to balance. Somewhere.
That certainly is a goal. Hearing no further public comments, I'll certainly entertain a motion to adjourn this hearing. I'll make the motion. Second. Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed. And we will take a 5-minute break before we launch into the